Some people think that random chance dictates what happens on planet Earth. Either God's not involved or he's not interested. Believers running the race of life have a different perspective. That's because the Bible reveals God as more than just interested in the human condition. He's the one who actively determines the fates of nations. Today, a look at how God superintends what we call history. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is God and the Nations, and today Dr. Lutzer comes to speak on God's providence among the nations.
When the Supreme Court of the United States decided to intervene in the logjam and chose George Bush as president rather than Al Gore, entailed in that decision was the demise of Saddam Hussein. Now, no one knew it. The court didn't know it. We didn't know it. George Bush didn't know it. God knew it. But there is a connectedness in history. History is actually going somewhere. In fact, sometimes some of the smallest events have spawned some of the most dangerous and huge global conflicts. For example, World War I, it is generally believed, was actually begun because Ferdinand of Austria was visiting Sarajevo, and there he and his wife were assassinated. What's interesting is that as he was driving along in his car, there were others who tried to assassinate him, and they either missed or their bombs didn't go off. And so the driver, in desperation, decided to go elsewhere. And as he turned down a side street, there was another assassin there who accomplished the deed. And that was the key that started the engine. And in 1914, World War I began 30 days after that assassination. So there's a connectedness in history. We can't predict what history is going to do because we know nothing. We know very little about all of the connections. But there's a cause-effect relationship. And only God really knows. Now, when we think of history, there are three agencies that we have to consider, all impinging on what we read today in the headlines. First of all, there are the human leaders. Here we're talking about kings and presidents and those who would lead empires. We're talking about George Bush and Saddam Hussein and Churchill and Hitler. These are the players that we know about. They're the ones who read the speeches. They're the ones who make the decisions for peace or for war. But I want you to know that behind those leaders, there are also demonic forces. In the 10th chapter of Daniel, it is very clear that God just pulls back the curtain. Daniel is there praying and he's saying, "Oh God, please help us." And he fasts for 3 weeks. At the end of 3 weeks, Michael, the archangel, comes to Daniel and says, "Daniel, I've been trying to get through to you ever since you began to pray, but the prince of Persia withstood me." In other words, as Michael was coming down as an angel, there were other forces, demonic forces, that were hindering him, that were really the forces assigned to Persia. And finally, Michael got through. So back of the headlines, back of what we read every day in our newspapers, there are all of these forces, human beings and demonic forces as well. But the third agency, and that which is most important, is God Himself. Because today we're going to speak about the providence of God in nations, the providence of God in nations. And what we will discover is that God is moving the nations along. That word providence means that God determines to move all things to an appointed end. And today we're going to see this in Scripture. To speak of the providence of God among the nations, I could speak literally from hundreds of different passages in the Bible because it's everywhere. Open your Bible and you're probably on a verse that talks about God's sovereignty and providence in the nations. For example, Jesus made the statement in the New Testament. He said that the armies of Titus were God's armies. Do you remember that parable Jesus said, "The Lord sent forth his armies to destroy the city." Wow. The armies are God's. Even wicked armies are God's armies. So what I'd like to do is to give you three assertions today, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel. This is the only book of the Bible that you'll have to turn to as you follow along. This is Daniel chapter 4. We're going to begin there, and then we will also be looking briefly at chapter 5. Daniel chapter 4. Now keep in mind that Daniel had a vision here in this fourth chapter, and the vision is that King Nebuchadnezzar, in all of his pride, is going to be humbled. And God is going to do the humbling. It says in verse 16, God is speaking, "Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal until seven times pass by for him." For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to live like an animal. The word that we use today for this is called zoanthropy. It still happens today, by the way. It is a mental condition of insanity where people actually begin to think that they are animals and live like them. But the reason for this is given in verse 17 of chapter 4. "The decision is announced by messengers, the holy ones, declare the verdict." Now notice, "so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowest," the lowliest, or some translations say, "the lowest of men." Wow. Notice it. God gives the kingdom to whomever he wishes. It is God who rules. You say, well, did God give Hitler the kingdom of Germany for those 12 and a half years? The answer is yes. Of course God gave the kingdom to Hitler for those 12 and a half years. He also gave the kingdom to Nero. He gave the kingdom to the actual ancient Chaldeans, who incidentally were Babylonians. And it says of them in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 6, God is saying to Habakkuk, who's crying up to God and saying, "Things are so bad, why don't you do something in Israel?" God says, "I am doing something." He says, "Behold, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and cruel foe that will march through the land." Doesn't that take your breath away just to read it? God says, "I will raise them up." You say, well, wait a moment now, I can't handle this. You're saying that they ruled according to the will of God. Well, there are two understandings of the will of God in Scripture. The first is God's revealed will, what he tells us to do. God is a God of justice and compassion and righteousness. They didn't live or rule according to that will, to be sure. They oppose justice and righteousness and fairness and everything that God stands for. But they ruled according to God's secret, hidden will. The Bible says that God is the one who rules all things after the counsel of his own will. And in that sense, God's providence literally encompasses everything. They were part of the total scheme. Well, let me clarify very briefly. First of all, obviously, God does not do evil. Wicked men and Satan do evil. So we're not saying that God does evil. We are saying that God uses evil. We are saying that God allows evil. Obviously, he could have chosen to not allow these evil rulers to exist and to live. So that what we need to do is to understand, and this is a mystery that we cannot unravel, we simply have to rejoice in it despite the fact that it blows our minds, is that you have three streams that flow into history. You have the human rulers, you have the work of Satan, you have the providence of God, and those three streams together are the river of God's providence. It was right when Luther said, even the devil is God's devil. And we can say, even Saddam Hussein is God's Saddam Hussein, evil though he was, and inspired, obviously, by wicked and evil spirits. At the end of the day, it is God who rules. I can't put it together that men do whatever they want to do. They are evil men because they want to be evil men, and they will be judged as evil men. In very specific and particular ways, they will be judged. But in doing what they want to do, they are still accomplishing a higher purpose. God rules among the children of men. And no empire can arise without God's help and without His aid and without His providence.
Well, yes, my friend, and this is Pastor Lutzer. We need to be able to explain and believe in those three streams that I spoke about, the work of human beings, the rise of nations, the work of Satan, but ultimately overriding it all, the will and the purpose of God. Now, I have a question for you. What role does God play in choosing a president of the United States of America? Some time ago on a Christian radio station, I heard a man say God had nothing to do with who we elected as president last time or this time. It was the American people who made the decision. Well, of course that's true. The American people made the decision. But let's think more carefully, because the statement itself is misleading. If it is true, as I quoted, that it is God who raises up leaders and brings them down, of course God has something to do with who is elected president of the United States of America or any country in the world. God rules. Now you say, well, why is it that sometimes evil rulers come to power? We think of Nero, but throughout history there are many, many other examples. What we need to understand is that even there, the will of God, properly defined and thought about, is being done. God does not approve of their evil, to be sure. God is not responsible, in fact, for their evil. But does He work it into His plan? Is it part of His purpose? Is it still true that He raises up rulers and brings them down? The answer is yes. Now, here's my conclusion to all of this. If it is true that God rules among men, how important it is for us to seek God and to pray. If we really believe that it is all in His hands, we will not sit back and say, well, God, you do whatever you wish, but we'll take the invitations of Scripture, coming to Him, pleading for our country, pleading for our leaders, and pleading for the whole situation in the entire world. You see, we pray well because we believe well. And we trust a God who is sovereign over it all. Think about that and go in peace.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of God's Providence Among the Nations, the second in his six-part series on God and the nations. Tomorrow, more evidence for God's unseen hand directing the moves of earthly kingdoms. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church, to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series is available on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the nations. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more about God's providence among the nations, join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.